I speak many languages. So I'm very grateful to Srila Prabhupada, in particular right now, for having brought me into your association. You are his sincere followers, and many of you, as I've been hearing, have been serving him for many decades, from when you personally read or heard about him or met him in person. Tonight I thought to just share one incident that pertains specifically to Srila Prabhupada's departure pastime. Srila Prabhupada said, it was actually his Guru Maharaj's disappearance day, and he said that this was in Surat, he said that the appearance of the spiritual master and the disappearance of the spiritual master on the absolute platform, there's no difference. Both are beautiful. Just like the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun, both are beautiful. So we do feel separation, but within the separation, our remembrance of Srila Prabhupada is heightened, and therefore we can experience the beauty of his presence in the separation. To come specifically to Srila Prabhupada's departure is, it feels abrupt to me because it's a painful topic. But taking Srila Prabhupada's words that the disappearance is beautiful, I want to share with you a lesson that I learned from his departure. Just a few days before he was to leave us, Srila Prabhupada expressed a desire to travel by bullock cart to different holy places in India. His Holiness Lokanath Swami had been traveling with a bullock cart to different places of pilgrimage, and Srila Prabhupada was very enlivened by the report that His Holiness Lokanath Swami gave him. And he said he also would like to travel by bullock cart. And he asked Lokanath Swami to arrange. And Lokanath Swami was very enlivened. I mean, Prabhupada was encouraging him in such a direct way. So he immediately went to organize the bullock cart and make all the arrangements. And it was going to be Govardhan Puja in a couple of days, And Prabhupada said that he'll begin by going on bullock cart to Govardhan Hill to celebrate Govardhan Puja with the Vrajavasis. So, as soon as Lokanath Swami and the others left the room, there were many devotees in the room at the time. Of course, Srila Prabhupada was bedridden and you could say emaciated. He wasn't able to eat. He was just drinking. So he was very gaunt and he had almost no energy. He would just lie on his bed and to whatever extent we could... he would speak and those close to him would hear what he was saying. So... Immediately after the discussion ended, Prabhupada's disciples formed two very strong, heartfelt opinions about what Srila Prabhupada should do. But more than that, it wasn't just about what Srila Prabhupada should do, it was about how we should relate to Srila Prabhupada, how we should serve him as disciples. So one group, and that included His Holiness Lokanath Swami and very esteemed godbrothers of mine, senior godbrothers, Hansadutta Prabhu and Bharadraj Prabhu, they felt very strongly that we should just do what the spiritual master orders. We shouldn't question it, but we should just execute. But some of the other devotees, and many of them were engaged in Prabhupada's personal service at the end, they felt that Prabhupada's health wouldn't allow him to travel on the bullock cart. That as it is, he was so emaciated, he had no flesh on his bones practically, that it would be very painful for him. And even if they padded the bullock cart with a mattress, still, it was a bullock cart and the roads in Vraj were very rough and the movement of the cart would jostle him and he would feel pain and he could even give up his body on the bullock cart. So they really didn't want him to endure what they saw as sure pain and perhaps dire consequences in terms of his life. But that was a very difficult position to hold under the circumstances because Srila Prabhupada was very emphatic. He was saying, we'll go all over India, we'll go to the Himalayas, and have a whole... Then, you know, devotees were getting in that mood, and we could have many bullock carts, and we'll have a whole caravan of bullock carts, and Tamal Krishna Goswami, and Bhakti Charu Swami, and Bhakti Srup Damodar Maharaj and Bhavananda Maharaj, they all felt very strongly, no, this is really going to be very bad for his health, you know. But how to say it, and, you know, so... Some of the devotees put forward the arguments You know, Tamal Krishna Goswami and others and Srila Prabhupada said, I will not die in one day. Rather, I will be cured. So the one side took it, Prabhupada supporting our position. But the other side took it, what does that mean he's going to be cured? You know, it means he's going to leave his body and get a spiritual body. That's how he's going to get cured. So each was seeing things in a particular way that supported its particular point of view. And finally, things came to the stage where, you know, the bullock cart was waiting outside the gates to the Krishna Balaram Mandir. It's like everything was getting ready. And to the devotees who were in that mood of Prabhupada staying, it must have been like when the residents of Vrindavan saw Krura getting the chariot ready to take Krishna to Mathura. So the night before, Srila Prabhupada was lying on his bed. I'm sure most of you have seen his bed in his house in Vrindavan. And Bhakti Charu Swami was with him. And Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, his Kinchana Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj, came to visit. Babaji Maharaj is a very advanced devotee. Srila Prabhupada said he was a Paramahansa. In any case, he was always engaged in Harinam, always absorbed in Harinam, and always blissful. He and Prabhupada had a very affectionate relationship, extraordinarily affectionate relationship. So Bhakti Charu Swami thought, let me appeal to Babaji Maharaj. If he asks Prabhupada not to go on the bullock cart, then Prabhupada may listen to him. So he was speaking with Babaji Maharaj. In the meantime, Tamal Krishna Goswami and Bhavananda Maharaj were upstairs in what was Prabhupada's bedroom until the end when they kept his bed downstairs. So just when Babaji Maharaj was at Prabhupada's bedside, they came down. And they were in a very emotional state. And even though Prabhupada was just lying there, he was aware of what was happening. And he said, so you request me not to go? All right, I will not go. And then Tamal Krishna Goswami said, Srila Prabhupada, we were in so much anxiety. We were just discussing. Someone was telling them how bumpy the road to Govardhan is and how he was going to be jostled in the cart. And he said, you know, Prabhupada, the way you deal with us, like you make us, we become mad, you know, we become mad with anxiety. And Prabhupada said, no, I will not put you in anxiety. And then Prabhupada turned to Babaji Maharaj and said, my right hand and my left hand, how can I refuse? And then he said, just see how much they love me. So, for those devotees in the room, it was a jubilant occasion that Prabhupada agreed to wait. I mean, Tamal Krishna Goswami said, if there's anyone who wants you to travel, I do, Srila Prabhupada, but not now, after you get some more strength. But eventually the news reached the others, and then the other group were very upset that, this is not our duty as disciples to try to prevail over our spiritual master. Our duty is just to execute his will. He said he wanted to go on the bullock cart to Govardhan. Our duty is just to execute his will. Our duty is not to try to advise him or prevail upon him according to our perception. And the controversy continued up until the end, which is the anniversary is today. And Prabhupada, he spent his last 3 days with his disciples at the Krishna Balaram Mandir. And then the last day he didn't speak. Only in the morning, the Kaviraj asked him to drink some juice. And he said, Mira Ichinai, I have no desire. And after that, Prabhupada didn't speak. He was in a completely internal state of consciousness. And the devotees just surrounded him with kirtan. And the last few hours in the afternoon, the leaders decided to open up the doors to everyone. And everyone, young, old, children, men, women, everyone was allowed to be in the room with Srila Prabhupada and exchange in love with him. And then at about 7:26, his tongue and mouth moved and he left. So it was always my habit or practice that I liked to chant in Srila Prabhupada's room. Of course, not when he was there, but... And after he left, I did that. And that controversy, I couldn't figure out who was right. I just couldn't figure it out. The devotees on both sides were senior. There were devotees senior to me on both sides, devotees whom I respected and had served. Personally, I was probably closer to the ones who were engaged in Srila Prabhupada's personal service, but still, I just wasn't sure. No, I just wasn't sure. And it was on my mind. And it was, the feelings were still there, even after Prabhupada left. The feelings were still very strong on both sides. So I was in Prabhupada's room chanting, and behind his bed, there's his bookshelves, and somehow I found a little corner and I was chanting there, and I saw a new volume of Srimad Bhagavatam that had just come. In fact, it was delivered into Srila Prabhupada's hands in his last days. The in the original printing. It was the 10th canto, part 2. And I remember when the devotees presented the book to Srila Prabhupada, and he was looking at the pictures. I mean, the love in Prabhupada's eyes, it's like just, it's just like, it was, everyone could see it. Even Tamal Krishna Goswami commented that how much love Prabhupada has for Krishna, just looking at the pictures of Krishna in the new publication. So, anyway, I saw the book, and it was a smaller volume, and it had gold embossing, special for Prabhupada. So I opened it up, and it opened to this chapter, Canto 10, Chapter 9, Mother Yashoda Binds Lord Krishna. And I read a few verses and purports, and I came to a verse that, to me, answered the question. And I will read the verse to you now. It's text 19. It follows, text 18 leads up to it, but text 19 really says it. Evam sandarshita yanga harina britya vashyata swa vashenapi krishnena yasye dam seshvaram vashe. O Maharaj Parikshit, this entire universe, with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Indra, is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. The pastime is encapsulated in the previous verse. I'll just read the translation. Because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. So when I read these verses, I thought, this is what happened. You know, the spiritual master is the transparent medium, Krishna. Although in Vraja Bhakti, the relationship with Krishna is different because it's Nar-lila, it's human-like pastimes, and there's complete intimacy. And the relationship between the disciple and spiritual master always has the element of awe and reverence. But still, from that statement that of Srila Prabhupada's to Babaji Maharaj, just see how much they love me. And earlier there was another incident, I don't have time to describe it, but in May, Srila Prabhupada had stopped drinking water. And he had even mentioned earlier that when his father wanted to leave his body, he stopped drinking water. And that is like a bona fide way that one can give up one's body when the time comes. So, Prabhupada, he didn't make any announcement or anything, he just stopped drinking. And Prabhupada had a servant, Upendra Das, very sweet devotee. And very innocently, he said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, you have to drink. If you don't drink, you'll become dehydrated. And Prabhupada said, oh, you want me to drink? Call the GBC. So that decision about whether Prabhupada should drink or not wasn't just, you know, a small decision. So Upendra or Abhiram Prabhu, they like informed the GBC, and the GBC and senior devotees came into the room, and Prabhupada said, you know, Upendra says I should drink. And the basic issue was, you know, will the movement go on without me? That was Prabhupada's question. And Brahmananda Prabhu, in a very staunch mood of enthusiasm, said, yes, Srila Prabhupada, yes, it will go on. And then Prabhupada said, then let me die in peace. Don't make me suffer any longer. So when Prabhupada said that, you know, Brahmananda Prabhu felt bad. Everyone felt bad. Anyway, then some devotee said, well, you know, it's in Krishna's hands, whatever Krishna desires. Because Prabhupada had said that many times, that whatever Krishna desired, he would accept. If Krishna allowed him to stay, he would stay. If Krishna wanted him to go, he would go. In fact, one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada that you said that your Guru Maharaj left early because he was disgusted. Is that the case with you? And Srila Prabhupada said, no. If Krishna allows me to stay in your association, I'll be most happy to stay in your association. So that was the mood, like it depends on Krishna. But at this meeting, when that disciple said, you know, it's in the hands of Krishna, whatever Krishna desires, Srila Prabhupada looked at him and looked at all of us and said, Krishna has given me the choice. And that was a completely different answer. And it also gives us a glimpse of the intimate reciprocation between Krishna and Prabhupada. So then Prabhupada said, okay, you all meet and discuss and tell me what you decide. So we all went out into the anteroom and discussed among the group at the time. Kirtanananda Swami was very clear and lucid and intelligent. And he said, if Krishna has given Prabhupada the choice, and if Prabhupada is giving us the choice, then we should ask Prabhupada to stay. Then someone said, everyone said, yeah, we should ask him to stay. And then some devotee said, but all the GBC men aren't here. And Brahmananda Prabhu said, come on, you know, what GBC is going to say that they want Prabhupada to go? Come on. So it was unanimous. We were going to go back into Prabhupada's room and tell him we wanted him to stay. And Kirtanananda Swami would be the spokesman. So we went back in the room. And Prabhupada was lying very quietly on his bed. And as soon as, you know, we finished offering obeisances, Kirtanananda Swami broke down and started sobbing. He couldn't speak. And Brahmananda Prabhu was like behind him and rubbing him, rubbing his back. And then Kirtanananda Swami said, Srila Prabhupada, if Krishna has given you the choice, and if you're giving us the choice, then please stay. We want you to stay. And Srila Prabhupada said, you have all met and you have all agreed? Yes, Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was silent in what seemed like an eternity because it was a question of whether Prabhupada was going to stay or go. And then Srila Prabhupada said, it's like he started to yawn. It's like he started to, all right. That's like that. He agreed to stay in such a nonchalant way. And all the devotees were just jubilant. Like, Prabhupada's going to stay. Prabhupada's going to stay. He's not going to leave us. He's going to finish Srimad Bhagavatam. He's going to lead the movement. And then Prabhupada said, this is real love. So when I read this verse, I thought of these two incidents and put them together. In both cases, when the disciples had expressed themselves, you know, we want you to stay, we want you to get healthy, we don't want you to be in pain, but basically we just want you to be with us. Prabhupada said, you know, this is real love, and then the other time, just see how much they love me. So I think that all of the disciples in this controversy were acting on the basis of their realization of their devotion for Srila Prabhupada. But I think that what Prabhupada really wanted to do was draw out from us our loving sentiments beyond just following the order. Following the order is a given. There's no question. We have to follow the order of the spiritual master. To disobey the order of the spiritual master is an offense against the holy name. It's the basic principle of spiritual life. So we're not talking about disobeying the order of the spiritual master. But what we're discussing is developing loving feelings for the spiritual master and expressing them to him. That's what we're discussing. And when Srila Prabhupada brought us to that stage in those two incidences, he commented in both times, this is real love. Just see how much they love me. And relating the verse from the 10th canto to what Srila Prabhupada did with us, there's also a parallel between the Damodar Lila and that principle of spontaneous love. Every night during the month of Damodar, we recite the Damodar Astakam, and I will read verse 3. I won't even read the Sanskrit to save time, but the translation by such childhood, well, I'll just in brief, by such pastimes, he is drowning the inhabitants of Gokul in pools of ecstasy and is revealing to those devotees who are absorbed in knowledge of his supreme majesty and opulence that he is conquered only by devotees whose pure love is imbued with intimacy and is free from all conceptions of awe and reverence. To this Supreme Lord, Sri Damodar, whose belly is bound not with ropes, but with his devotees' pure love, I offer my humble obeisances. So the Damodar Lila is meant to show the special ability of spontaneous pure love to conquer the Lord. The Lord comes under the control of such pure love. And in the same way, Srila Prabhupada, it's not exactly that he came under the control of our love, but I would say that he brought out that love from deep in the recesses of our hearts, and then he reciprocated with us by coming under our control or agreeing to our request. So this was a very deep pastime of Srila Prabhupada's. It was a common saying amongst the disciples who were around Srila Prabhupada at the end, that Srila Prabhupada was the perfect acharya. He taught us by his own example how to live in Krishna consciousness. And now he was teaching us how to die in Krishna consciousness. So that was the general idea in those months and weeks, that he was showing us how to retire to a holy place, how to be absorbed in hearing the holy names of the Lord, and how up until the end he was trying to push forward the mission in his delicate health and translating purports to Srimad Bhagavatam up until the very end. So in that way, he was showing us also how to die in Krishna consciousness. But within that final lesson, he also brought us to this more intimate level of exchange where we could express our heart's deepest desires to him, even in spite of the barriers, which I would say he deliberately put up. It's like he deliberately put up the barriers, but then he inspired us to go through the barriers to reach out to him and express our love for him and ask him to stay with us. So even though Srila Prabhupada has now left that body, we still have that choice. We always have that choice. Do we want to ask him to stay or not? Do we want him to stay with us or not? You know? And I remember at the time, although we were going along in that mood of whatever Krishna wants is okay, but when we really understood what should be in our hearts, that we want him to stay, then we were thinking, you know, maybe we want to, you know, We want to be the controllers. We want to be the enjoyers. You know? So there's always that question. Like, you know, do we want to enjoy the kingdom of God without God, or do we want to enjoy the kingdom of God with God as his humble servant? And so I pray to Srila Prabhupada that I will always remember this lesson and always pray and act in such a way that he will be pleased to stay with us individually and collectively, and bind us to his lotus feet eternally. Hare Krishna.
So thank you, Giriraj Maharaj.